invite you to turn your Bibles, we'll, to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, or the second Psalm. I've started a series of messages on our Lord Jesus in the Psalms. And in Psalm 2, we looked at last week and took a look at an aspect here where our Lord Jesus prophetically is mentioned. And in Psalm 2, the scripture says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion," the Lord speaks. "I will declare the decree," the Lord says. "The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." And so here in this passage, we took a look last time about the rage of the heathen, the unbelieving in the Lord, and the vain imaginations, and what that what the folly of pursuing vain and empty thinking is, especially against the Lord. But this morning we want to concentrate on verse number 7, where the scripture says, "And the Lord declares, I will declare the decree." Brother Mark mentioned it, and we know it's so. God's got a plan and got a work, and it will not be thwarted. It will not be changed. It will not be modified or adjusted. He will accomplish what he has purposed to do. When he declares a thing and decrees a thing, it will be done. And in this, listen to what he says. "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath set unto me." Now, Brother David writing that, it is true that the Lord has given him that, said that unto him, as king of Israel, okay, and as a son of his. That's he gets that and receives that and has that in his day. But it is also prophetic. "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me," Jehovah God has said unto me, "thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." Here in Psalm 2, we see the declaration of God Almighty, "thou art my son." We have clarity and understanding about this over again in the New Testament, and we see it's as these things are mentioned in the book of Psalms, they speak for themselves, but we get a clarity and application of that in the New Testament scriptures whenever the Psalms is reached into by those writers of the New Testament and brought over here and made a full application to the Lord. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, invite you and turn your attention there. And let us hear how this prophetic passage in Psalm 2, verse 7, this declaration of God Almighty, "thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." May the Lord give us understanding about that, and that we might see our Lord Jesus here this morning. God, Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry, that means several times, different times, and divers manners, different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He spoke to Moses out of a burning bush, didn't he? But then he came to Brother Jonah in another way. just as real, but came to him, and all the other brethren, Brother Isaiah, Brother Ezekiel, all right, Brother Zechariah, right, Brother David, Brother Solomon, and who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets unto the nation of Israel, who received the word and the oracle of God. He used the prophets of God to speak unto them, and they yet speak unto us. He yet speaks unto us today by them. There, we have it here in the Word of God. But listen, hath in these last days, verse number 2, spoken unto us by His Son. Let us know that God Almighty has spoken to you and me today by His Son. It was the prophets, which we have. But today the declaration of God goes forth unto all of mankind through and by and in the Son of God. You know why the Lord tells us that? That we might get a hold of the seriousness and the reality of this thing, that God has spoken to us indeed, and He has used His Son to do it. It's serious business. It's not a light matter. It's not a thing that you can put like the third or fourth thing on your list. This is number one, because God has spoken to us and to you and me here in these last days, these days, has spoken to us by His Son. He gave the Son a mission. He gave the Son a word. And you know what the Son has done? He has told it, obeyed it, and declared it, just as it has been given to him of the Father. And you know what? The Son is not an agent that is impartial. Oh, He's dedicated to every whit and every way and every purpose of God. He is God, as we'll see. And then He's spoken to us by His Son. And we see that here. And now here, continuing on in verse number 2, if you will, here is who He is, the Son. And so let us know who it is, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. This one that He's spoken to us by, He's appointed the heir of all things. By whom also He made the worlds. This Son is the Creator. Capital S-O-N. That's the reason His name is that way. So He is the heir, and He's made all things in on the world. Verse number 3, who being in the brightness of His glory and the Father's glory, the Son is in that brightness. And the express image of His person, the Son is that express image of God Almighty's person. And upholding all things by the word of His power, He holds all things together. And so we see here who He is. He's heir. He's creator. He's the brightness and the glory of God, the express image of God's person. As the Scripture declares, in Him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He is the one that upholds all things by the word of His power. Here in the midst of, in the latter part of verse number 3, we see that God has spoken to us through His Son in this passage. We see who He is, okay, and how He is defined and declared unto us, and who He is, and what God Almighty by the Son has done and will do. And then we see here what He has done further for sinners. It says here in verse number 3, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You know what the Lord has done? What the Son has done? Oh, He's the heir appointed by God. He's made the worlds. He is the brightness and the express image, the front person of the Trinity of God towards mankind. He upholds all things by His power. But you know what else? He's a Savior. He's our Savior. If you're here and you're not saved, He's the Savior you need. There is no other Savior. He's ordained and appointed the Savior by God Almighty. The Son is. The Son. The begotten Son. as we read over there in Psalm, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." It goes on, and verse number 5 is where that in Psalms and Psalm 2 and this in Hebrews draws together. Verse number 5. "For unto which of the angels said he, Jehovah God, at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?" Name an angel. Michael? Gabriel? Lucifer was an angel. Now, he still is. He's a fallen angel. Did God ever say to them, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, conceived thee, brought thee to full term, and caused thee to be delivered"? Did the Lord ever say that to any of the angels? No. No. Not unto the angels, no. Not unto any of the angels. Unto which of the angels said he, the Almighty, at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee"? He has said that to none, but he has said it to the Son, hadn't he? Our Lord Jesus is the Son of God. It says there in verse number 5, "And again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me a son." I'm going to go ahead and mention this now. I had planned to mention it later in the message, but there are those religious organizations in the world that say that Jesus became the Son of God, that Jesus became God. The Lord, the God, the Son, has always been God, as we'll see. They take the Word of God and they change it in the translations that they use, and they make Him a God, make Him a Son. Well, He is the Son. And the thing is, He was the Son, as we'll see, before He was born. But He became a man that He might fulfill the necessity, the need that we had of Savior. And that in therein is when the Son is begotten of the Lord, is born. So this passage, don't be confused. Don't be confused that the Son of God, one of the Trinity, don't be confused that He had a beginning. Because He didn't have a beginning in His person. But as a man, He did have a beginning. Okay? So as a man, He had a beginning. But as God, God the Son, He never had a beginning, because He's from everlasting. And we'll see that here as we go. But I want to make mention of that. "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee," pulled from Psalm 2, verse 7. And again, there in verse 5, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." That's talking about His humanity. It's talking about Him being born. The Lord Jesus was conceived within Mary, and God the Father was a father to Him in that fleshly form. He did things for us that a natural father of this world can't do for a child that's there in the womb growing there. I mean, we care for our wives, we care for them as they're carrying our children and that, but the Father was being a father to the Son even then. And then at His delivery, at His birth, He was a father unto Him, wasn't He? He was being a father. And then in his youth and the threats that were at hand from Herod, He was a father unto him and a provider unto him. And as He grew up as a little child, and as He grew up as a boy, and as He became to a young man, God Almighty, the Father, was a father unto His Son, wasn't He? We see that. If you think about that, what you read in the Scriptures, He taught him. He caused him to grow. He worked. And hard for us to take and understand and comprehend that. Well, this is the Son of God. He's got all power. What's the Father got to do anything for Him? Well, see, He was subject to being a human. that he might be a suitable Savior for humans like you and me, that he might know what it's like to be one of us, but without sin. And the Father was always being a Father to him in everything, in every way. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. I brought you to life. I brought you from conception. I brought you to birth. I've begotten you. You're mine. You are my Son. And I will be to him a father, and he was, and he shall be to me a son. What is it that Jesus is always saying through his ministry? I do the will of the Father. I've been sent by the Father. I've got a work to do, not the normal course of mankind that God has given and assigned to mankind, of living, growing up, working, having a family, and going on. But I've got a work from the Father to do, to bring my children to glory, to bring sinners to salvation, to accomplish and fulfill the will of the Father. And again, it says in Hebrews chapter 1 there, verse number 6, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, the first begotten. Yes, you and I, we that are saved, we are the sons of God. And John tells us that, right? 1 John chapter 3, we're now the sons of God. Doesn't appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we know that we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, so we're the sons of God, and we have been birthed spiritually, but this is talking about the physical sense. And God Almighty's only had one son born to him in the physical way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, the first begotten, he is. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And they did, didn't they? Shouting Hosanna in the highest. They were there present at his birth. The shepherds saw them and gave a witness and a declaration of the peace and good tidings that were at hand because the Savior had come. But if you're an angel, get down there and worship him. And then when the Lord in his ministry, he came unto those that were possessed, they would come bowing down unto him saying, oh, we know who you are. You're the Holy One. You're the child of God. You're the Son of God. Are you come to torment us before the time? They worship him too. They are subject to him because that was the decree. That was the declaration. That is the place, as Hebrews 1 is explaining to us, that's the place of the angels. And when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, when he became a man, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And they do. Now, a brother that you and I know and love, he believes and and from his study and what he sees from the scriptures, he says this is the reason that Satan hates and abhors God and the Lord Jesus Christ is because he, being the highest angel that had ever been made, was going to be forced to worship Christ the man. I tell you what, there's a thought there. I don't know how he gets all of that, but that's the reason he despises Christ. He despises mankind because the Father has said, let all the angels worship him. Very interesting. Very interesting there. There in this passage in verse number 6, it comes from Psalm 97, verse number 7. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Now, understand that that word gods there in the Old Testament is a term of authority. And look how it is with authority with the angels. The angels are above us in the creation. And then gods, the Lord Jesus is cornered about this when the Pharisees, Sadducees come upon him and such. And they say, I can't remember the exact occasion, but the Lord Jesus Christ says, well, doesn't the Lord say in the scripture, ye are gods? Well, see, we've been given dominion over the earth. We have authority as mankind, men and women, mankind over the earth to have dominion over the earth. We are the authority here, subject to the authority of God. And so here, scholars say that Psalm 97:7 is that passage that's referred there to there in Hebrews 1:6. And again, he's referring to the Scriptures. Let's read on in verses 7 through 14 here. Listen to what the Lord says about our Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels and ministers a flame of fire. That's what the Lord says about the angels. Not, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. But he says rather in Psalm 104:4, he makes the angels his ministers. Ministers unto you and me in the will of the Lord. Not to be the Savior. It's only the Son that he is called to do so. Verse number 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And we could go in the Old Testament Scriptures and see that reference. A scepter of righteousness is thy scepter of thy kingdom. Don't forget, this is who God is speaking to us through. This one. With this authority, with this power, with this calling. But in the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, reaffirmed he is the Creator. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. He will remain forever. And they shall wax old, the creation, as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, the Lord will, of this whole creation. And they shall be changed into the new heaven and the new earth. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. The Son never gets old. Oh, on this earth he grew up to 33 years old. But that's it. That was it. He doesn't ever get older. Time does not impact him nor affect him in any way. He is everlasting. You know, Jesus is yet a man and will always be a man. The Son was born and begotten of the Father, a continual and everlasting testimony of his love and work for us. Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he, the Father, God, the Jehovah God, at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Who did he say that to of the angels? None. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 14 there in Hebrews 1, speaking of the angels. Again, the subject is, the latest subject is, did the Lord call the angels to be his son? No. He called God the Son to be born a man, his son, here upon the earth. Physical, like you and me, associating with us through his mother Mary, but without sin. A different father than you and I have, not of the descendants of Adam, but of the Son, the only begotten, the first begotten of God. Are they not all the angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation? He asks the question, but it's really a statement. That's the truth. That's what the angels are called to, ministering spirits. Ministering spirits to work the work and the will of God to bring his people, bring his children to salvation. Did the Lord ever say to an angel, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? No. But unto our Lord Jesus, as we know him now and as his name, earthly name is, he said that to him. And he brought it to pass with him. He is the Son. He is the Son. This is one of those messages that's kind of short on the front end and long in conclusion, okay? Let's read a few passages here through the New Testament just to see what the Scripture says, what the Lord says about this. The Son has always been in time. The Son has always been and in time became a man. John 14, verses 10 and 11. Jesus speaking, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. The Lord Jesus says, the Father's in me and I'm in him. And you know, that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always been. And it was that way even when our Lord Jesus became a man, when the Lord begot him, when the Father begot him in becoming a man, the Father was in him and he's in the Father. It's always been that way. And even when he became a man, nothing changed. John 14, 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Speaking about that of salvation and to us and the working of the Lord as a man, the Lord becoming a man, he being filled with the Spirit of God and the Father himself. The Lord Jesus in John 10:30, very plainly, I and my Father are one. Not became one, but are one. When he was the Scripture says, the Lord Jesus says, God is a spirit in John 4, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And before the Lord Jesus became a man, that was the way or the realm in which he lived and existed. In the pillar of cloud, in the pillar of fire, that Brother Mark has been teaching and telling about in the Scriptures. The angel of the Lord in the burning bush. The three, one of the three that met Brother Abraham on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah. The wrestling with Brother Jacob before he went back home. But then when he became a man, he's a man forevermore. And he and the Father have always been one. And always will be one. Hebrews, back in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. He's speaking in future tense, or present tense, prepared me. He existed before he was born and begotten of the Lord. And the design and work of the Lord, incredible that the Lord, God the Son, would become as his creation. Isn't that something? You know, I think about the things that I've built, and I try to think of maybe the thing that I would be most proud of or just think about the best thing that I've ever done, the best work that I ever did. You would think about that, the best project you ever had and the things that you like. Would you ever want to become that? You like doing that? Well, the Lord became his creation. He became a man. Isn't that something that the Lord would do that? But he did. It was necessary. It was the only way that sinners like you and I could be saved. A body hast thou prepared me. We come over to Colossians chapter 1, that first chapter, picking up at verse number 15, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He rose from the dead that you and I might live. And when we say might, we're using that Bible reference, not that maybe we will, maybe we won't, but that it could be so. He lives, we live. He's the first begotten. He's the first begotten. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him and for Him. So it's all for Him. In the creation, the Son was there. And He was that one of the Godhead that created, that holds it all together, it says. It goes on to say here, all things were created by Him, verse 16, and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's preeminent. He's been before first place and is to be before first place in our hearts and lives too. And not only that, verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Not the only begotten of the Father, but the first to ever raise from the dead by His power, His own power, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Again, that's above first place. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things into Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. If you know anything about accounting, you talk about reconciling, you're going to make it all add up. You're going to make it all be dealt with. You know, every sin, every transgression is going to be dealt with. Every bit of honor and glory and obedience that God has commanded, it's going to be accomplished. It's all going to be fulfilled, what the Lord has said. And you know what? Everything that mankind, humanity, Adam's race has lacked in and been disobedient in and has failed in, the Son, begotten of the Father, will obey God in. And you know what? Being saved, His obedience, we are the benefactor. We are the blessed recipient of His obedience given unto us, being saved. What a Savior He is. What a wondrous Savior He is. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through His blood, the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Then we come over to what Brother John writes in John chapter 1. The Son has always been, and in time became a man. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now those of the religious world that and cults that want to deny the deity of the Lord, they take this passage here and they change it. A God, not God. Make Him a Son and not the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He's life. He's light. He's the beginning of the creation. He is God Himself. He is the Word. Later on in that chapter, in verse number 14, we read in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. He was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John writes, and we beheld His glory indeed, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Oh, He births us spiritually. That's how He saves the sinner, is by the moving of His Spirit and the use of His Word and the conviction of the truth. But physical, born Son to Him by that young woman, Mary, that Virgin Mary, He is the only one born to God. The only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father in the physical sense. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, and indeed He is gracious unto sinners and unto men. He is the truth of God. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." Wait a minute. John is the Lord Jesus' cousin, but who was born first? John. The Lord Jesus was before even the life of the two of them, wasn't He? Yeah, the physical life, the embodied. John's life started at conception, but the Lord is from everlasting, our Lord Jesus, the Son. For He was before me. There in John 1, verse 30, "This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for He was," because He was before me. Then we come over to John 17, verse number 5. The Lord Jesus speaking and praying here, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." See, there are those that say with the creation of the world and of the angels that Jesus was created. Don't believe that lie. He's the Creator Himself. God didn't create Jesus so then Jesus could go ahead and create the earth. Don't buy into that. Because then you don't have a Savior. You don't have a Savior. But the God the Son, who's ever with the Father, everlasting, just as the Father, just as the Holy Spirit of God, yet one. And can one be added to and can be one be divided? No. No. He's from everlasting. And He desired such of His Father before all of the creation was made, before the world was made. He desired and is enjoying that glory with the Father that He had from that time. We come over to 1 John chapter 1, where Brother John again, oh, he's filled up with this of the Lord. He says, "That which was from the beginning," verse 1 of 1 John 1, "which we have heard," we've heard Him, "which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the Word of life." We've touched Him. He's been in our presence. "For the life was manifested," verse 2, "and we have seen it, and bear witness and show you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." He was with the Father eternally. And then the Lord in His power and His providence and His working and His and the awesomeness of His ability, He made it to where we could see, where we could touch Him, where we could be with Him, where He could teach us, and where He could die for us and be buried for us and resurrected for us. The Lord God Almighty made it and brought us our Savior. "For as the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And I tell you what, is there any better rejoicing than that? Than to have a Savior that loved you so and did these things for you and came and rescued you and did the things that you couldn't do for yourself? Oh, there's no greater joy than that, is there? Remember what it says in Isaiah 9, verse 6? Again, the Son has always been and in time became a man. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." He said it, "I and my Father are one," the Prince of Peace. As the Lord said in John 8, verse number 58, Jesus said unto them, "For the mark is dealt with this in the study of Brother Moses' life and how the Lord revealed himself unto Moses as he did from the burning bush and chose him to be a leader of the children of Israel to bring them out of Egypt. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And nobody goes around throwing around those words. I am. Present tense. That's all there's ever been with our Lord Jesus Christ is present tense. I am. The great I am. In closing, so then when we come over here to John chapter 3, verse number 16, I pray that this consideration here and this look-see there in Psalm 2, verse number 7, it might have greater import unto you, especially unto you that are here not saved. God has spoken to us by His Son. "Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." The one that is from everlasting became a man, that he might be a Savior for sinners like you and me. And the Scripture declares it here in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." "Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." And then there came a day that He gave Him as a sacrifice for sinners. For sinners' sins. For the redemption, to pay the price that could never be paid by Adam's race. That sinners like you and me can be saved. That His people could be redeemed and brought back, bought back. "For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, all His creation." That's the word cosmos that is used there for world. He loved all of His creation, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we beg you, believe in Him. Not believe in Him historically, but believe in Him and trust Him unto the salvation of your soul. Believe in Him and trust in Him unto the repentance of your sins, the admitting of your guilt before God and your sin and your transgression, and receive Him and His death, burial, and resurrection for you. Substitutionary. In your place, because you can't do it. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, not die eternally, but have everlasting life. "For God sent not His Son, the only begotten. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." He birthed Him, and He brought Him to full term, and He delivered Him to bring Him to be a man, become a man, that He might sacrifice Him. I ask this often in the jail. Who of us would give one of our children for the sake of sinners? We never would even think about doing it, would we? But the Father did. And the Son was willing to become a man so it could be so. Because in that spirit realm, it could not be so. So He became a man that it could be so. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him, on the Son, the only begotten of the Father, is not condemned." You believe on Him? "But he that believeth not is condemned already," right now. Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Not a Son, but the Son, to believe on Him. We point you to Him. "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee."